Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the worst movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck. Hi, and welcome to the Z Critic Movie Gallery. And today, yes, that's right, we're reviewing Star Wars Episode 1. And as I apologize for the past couple weeks, things have been kind of busy in my life, and I just haven't been around to get around to do a review, and I've been taking my abrupt time with this movie. Because I think it's so important that, you know, I do this right, because there are so many Star Wars fans out there. Let's just, you know, cut to the chase on that one. And this is part of my two-week documentary on George Lucas. As you well know, he's doing an Indiana Jones movie soon, and I can't freaking wait for it. And also, he's doing a new Star Wars cartoon that's supposed to bridge the gap in between Episode 2 and 3. So, with that said, I am fucking psyched. Like, I'm so pumped. This is, to me, this is like the Super Bowl, you know? Like, the week right before the Super Bowl, you're just, like, jacked up, and you're like, yeah! That's how I am right now. I am fucking psyched for this new Indiana Jones movie. I mean, I am so psyched, I'm gonna go see it. Right away on the first day. So, with that said, let's get to the review here. And let's start it out with saying a few words about George Lucas. You know, nothing against George Lucas. He is the fucking man. I mean, unfortunately, I have to rip him on this movie, Star Wars Episode 1. And a lot of people may disagree with it, but, you know, as we always say on this show, that's too fucking bad. Too fucking bad, because nobody is safe from the Z Critic Movie Gallery. It doesn't matter if you're fucking Donald Trump, and you want to sue my ass. Doesn't matter, because I'm still going to rip you. And a shitty movie deserves a shitty rating by a Z Critic Gallery. That's right. So, let's cut to the chase here. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. First of all, I don't exactly agree with the title. I'm sure a lot of Star Wars fans don't agree with any of the titles, but this one in particular, it makes it sound like a really dark movie, and to be honest, it's a fucking kids movie. Like, that's my problem with this in the first place. This movie, it was pointed toward kids in the Star Wars direction to get kids to, you know, buy into Star Wars, because, you know, the idea of Star Wars was that it was supposed to be an adult science fiction fantasy, but no, Lucas had to fucking sell it to kids. So, they had the wrong idea about Anakin Skywalker, because if you remember, I mean, Star Wars was made back in the 80s, so not too many little kids were actually, like, aware of who Darth Vader was. They probably didn't even know who the hell Luke Skywalker was. So, in this movie, there's just so many wrongdoings, and I really feel like they should do another episode one, maybe like in 10 or 20 years, because this movie is fucking god-awful. Like, it is so bad. Like, I would rather fucking watch, Tiddlywinks on television, you know, the National Spelling Bee Tournament, all day long, than this fucking piece of shit. I mean, the actors, it's not like, Donnie Darko, where you had all the makings for a shitty movie. No, this one's the exact opposite. There are really good actors in this film. I mean, the guy that plays Qui-Gon Jinn, Liam Neeson is awesome. If you remember right, he plays in Batman Begins, and he just played an excellent role in that film. I really like him, actually, in this film. I mean, he shines, you know. And Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan Kenobi, he did a really decent job. But unfortunately, Natalie Portman, she's hot, so I can't really say too much about her role as Queen Amidala. I thought it was a little too childish for me, and confusing in a lot of regards of how, you know, Jake Lloyd being 6 years old could end up with, like, I don't know, 19-year-old Natalie Portman in the next film. It's kind of like child rape, hello, rape, and jailbait, child prostitution or something going on there. I mean, geez, it's supposed to be a family film, but yet you got some, you know, loose ends on the relationship there between Darth Vader and the Queen, eventually, if you watch the next two episodes. But let's just get into the plot. It's not one of the worst films of all time, but it certainly is the fucking worst Star Wars movie ever, and it should be awesome because it's Star Wars. It's like the biggest blockbuster of all time, and like, episode one was just such a serious disappointment. I mean, it was so, we were looking for something more dark, like, coming into the movie, because we're talking about Darth Vader, and the storyline just, like, fucking develops so damn slow. Like, the movie's, like, 2.5 hours long, and, you know, it just doesn't develop at all. Like, there's really no storylines behind it. And there's a lot of fucking retarded characters. I mean, god-retarded characters that are just, you know, should probably check into, like, you know, the Retarded Citizens Brigade or something, you know? I mean, they're fucking retarded, some of these characters, and they serve no purpose in Star Wars at all. Like the Gungans. What the fuck do the Gungans have to do with Star Wars? This isn't... Okay, maybe they are a strong army or something, but to me, they're pretty fucking weak, and they get blasted out in the third one if you kind of watch it, but they don't show that, because God forbid there be violence in Star Wars. And, you know, they also show, like, stupid characters like Jar Jar Banks, who, unfortunately, in the second one, when he gives the senatorship to Palpatine, decides the whole world, basically, of Star Wars when he gives it over. So, that's like, you know, saying to, Corky from Life Goes On, basically, here, Corky, the whole fate of the universe lies within your hands, and he gives it up to some fucking bastard like Osama bin Laden, who decides to blow up the world. You know, that's basically the equivalency of this storyline, you know, once it goes into Attack of the Clones. But beyond the scope of that, let's try and focus in here, because it's getting confusing already. Like, here's my problem. Why did George Lucas do episode 4, 5, and 6? Why not start with 1, 2, and 3, and then do 4, 5, and 6 later down the road? Like, why did he have to do that? That, I don't understand it. Unless during the time, maybe it was during the time period. I mean, I guess you could argue that people were looking for a hero in the 1980s because the economy was, like, so bad around that time, and people just wanted to escape reality in the, you know, late 70s to, you know, mid 80s, but I'm not really sure about that, and I'm not really sure as to why 4, 5, and 6 had to be made like that, and then flop back to 1, 2, and 3. It really fucked up a lot of things, and, you know, unfortunately, 1, 2, and 3, I mean, it tries to tie in with 4, 5, and 6, but it fails to do so. So, what was the failure of Episode 1? What was the main failure that it failed to do? Well, I have a beef with something here. And it's the fact that Anakin looks like a fucking hero in this movie, like Episode 1. Like, it confuses the crap out of kids who weren't introduced to Star Wars 4, 5, and 6. And they think that, you know, Anakin's, like, cool, and it's cool to join the dark side and stuff like that, you know? Like, you can be a hero and then join the dark side. So it confuses them. And why on earth would you make it for little kids? I mean, they probably pulled a Transformers kind of thing. Like, you know, the first Transformers movie that first came out was supposed to sell toys and supposed to sell gimmicks to kids. Well, that's what this fucking movie did. That's what its fucking purpose was, and that's why it's a fucking piece of shit. So, anyways, pretty much, like, the plot goes like this. There's a dispute between the Trade Federation and that's another thing. They just kind of throw the characters in there and expect you to know that this is the Trade Federation, and, like, this is Qui-Gon Jinn, and this is, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, how the hell were you supposed to know, like, those were the two people coming in, unless you, like, read a synopsis of the movie? I even watched 4, 5, and 6, and I am one of the biggest Star Wars fans of all time. And during 4, 5, and 6, they at least introduce you to the characters. There is no introduction to these characters, and you're just fucking completely confused from the start. You have no idea what's going on until you watch the movie about 4 or 5 fucking times. Which is absolute bullshit and a waste of fucking time. Like, who the fuck wants to watch a movie 4 or 5 times to figure it out? Not me. I got time. You know, Z Critic, I'd be reviewing movies, and I don't want to fucking waste my time on this piece of shit. So, you know, that's my rant on that. So, the introduction of the characters were really poor in the beginning. And there's the Trade Federation, who is linked with Darth Sidious. If you remember, he's kind of like Darth Vader's, you know, eventual master, so to speak, but that's a whole nother story. So anyways, they're linked with Darth Sidious, and Darth Sidious says, destroy the Jedi, Qui-Gon Jinn, and destroy, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So they're on a mission to get the Trade Federation to sign some type of treaty for a blockade, and the Trade Federation doesn't want to end it, and eventually, you know, it just turns into a whole, you know, no peace talks, and, like, eventually a war starts up. So you're introduced to the Royal Naboo and Queen Amidala, as played by Natalie Portman, and you're kind of introduced to the shittiness and the fucking retardedness of these characters. Like, they serve no fucking purpose at all. And they go in such depth on the shittiest characters. That is my problem with this film as well. Like, I mean, George Lucas, I thought, went into too much detail. Like, for instance, the Royal Naboo. Like, who the fuck cares about the Royal Naboo? And eventually you find out like that how worthless this movie really is, because the Royal Naboo are a bunch of pussies. Like, it's like Ethiopia, like invading Ethiopia with like an MK-47 or, you know, a bunch of guerrillas with like, you know, semi-automatics, and meanwhile the Ethiopians only have spears to like get you. Like, it's stupid. So, I mean, you could easily take it over. Well, in this movie, fuck, they just like lay down and die for the Trade Federation. The one black officer goes, "Well, Queen Amidala, like, we don't have a military force here," and I'm pretty sure she fucking knew that, but no, she didn't, so maybe she should have signed a peace treaty, with the, you know, Trade Federation. So, you know, I thought that was a little stupid that there wasn't an actual war between the Naboo and the Trade Federation. I mean, the Naboo absolutely put up, like, no fight. They just, like, let them walk into their home and just, like, steal shit, basically, and just claim themselves as, you know, Trade Federation, this is our state. So, it's kind of like someone just, you know, your bigger brother coming into your room and just, like, stealing your shit because you know he can beat the shit out of you, so you have no chance, so why even fight? So, with that said, the plot thickens on, and, you know, the Jedi's, contact Queen Amidala to tell her that the, Trade Federation is planning an invasion. They're too late, so what happens is they get Queen Amidala to, safety, and, Princess Padme, actually has a plan, though. She decoys herself as Queen Amidala and eventually, like, runs away with the Jedis, and they don't really know it. So, basically, you're stuck on Tatooine, a worthless fucking planet, like, the most boring planet on the face of the Earth. I hate when the movie switches to Tatooine. It is so fucking boring there. It's like watching Star Wars Episode 4 all over again, and you almost want to hit fast forward when it's on Tatooine, because it's boring. Like, there's nothing to do there. I mean, it, like, imagine a lump of rock, and you're just living on a fucking island all day, like Castaway. It's pretty much as, you know, entertaining as this freaking town. I mean, it's just pretty much like staring at a ceiling and counting the white tiles all day. That's how boring it is there. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to do, and, you know, there's really nothing going on. So, anyways, their problem is that they have a ship, and when their ship landed, it got kind of damaged, I guess. And I like that, too, how it just got damaged magically. R2-D2 did save the day, and you're introduced to him when they're getting attacked by the Trade Federation. Their ship almost blows up, but R2-D2 fixes it. So, anyways, they land on Tatooine, and they find out that they need some type of part. I have no fucking clue. So, they land there, and pretty much you're introduced to Anakin Skywalker, a.k.a. Darth Vader, and the funniest line comes from Obi-Wan Kenobi, a.k.a. Ben Kenobi, and he goes, "Why do I sense another pathetic light form on board?" And Qui-Gon goes, "He's Anakin Skywalker, you fool, this is the boy." So, another pathetic life form. Well, Ben Kenobi was right. He did see into the future, actually, on that one, because, you know, Anakin Skywalker was, you know, Darth Vader, so I find that pretty ironic. That was a really good line there by Lucas in the movie. So, Anakin's eventually tested for midichlorians, and only because they're kind of stuck there for a while, so they kind of have to gamble on a pod race, basically, because the fucking bug guy, I can't even remember that piece of shit's name in the movie, but they pretty much meet the bug guy, and he's just kind of flying around, and he's kind of like the leader of the store, so to speak, kind of like the manager there, and he manages all the parts. Well, it's pretty funny when Qui-Gon tries to do a Jedi mind trick, and he goes, "You can't do a Jedi mind trick on me, Jedi." It's kind of how he sounds, this big, fat, fucking bug guy. And so anyways, the bug guy, like, pretty much gives him the, part, but he says only on one condition: if you win the race. So, since he doesn't take Republic credits, they have to gamble on a pod race. Basically, his ship for, the deal was his ship for Anakin Skywalker and his mom, but as he says, "Well, I need two slaves here. I can't give up two slaves for a sheep. That is not a fair deal." So, he only agrees to give up Anakin Skywalker if he wins. So, anyways, he tests, Qui-Gon Jinn tests him out for these things called Metachlorians. And Metachlorians, just to describe quickly, are part of a Jedi code that kind of make you a Jedi. You can see in the future, they're living, breathing cells that live within our body, and they're kind of like symbiotes attached to our body. So the more Metachlorians you have, the more reaction time you have to certain things. You can see well into the future the more Metachlorians you have. And so he's actually talking to a man named Yoda. If you're not familiar with Yoda, please watch Star Wars. I beg you. Yoda's this shit. Unfortunately, the problem is he looks like shit in the movie. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, he looks like someone took a big green shit. Like, he looks like, oh man, I can't even tell you. Like, someone stacked, some drunk, like, had a green shit in the toilet, and they just, like, molded it together like a pie. Like, he looks horrible. Like, a fucking disgrace. A fucking disaster. And, like, this is 1999, and he looked older in this movie in episode 1 than he does in episode 4, 5, and 6. It's like, what the hell? Well, he wasn't actually in episode 4. Let me correct myself on that. Sorry about that. He's in episode 5 and 6. So, like, what the hell is going on here? Like, why wouldn't they fucking make, why couldn't they possibly make Yoda look better? And unfortunately, the guy that did do Yoda, died. He passed away, so they got a new, puppet master to do this, and he was fucking god awful. No wonder, Yoda went to CG, after, 2001 and the Attack of the Clones and, Revenge of the Sith, because he looked fucking horrible in this film. He looked older than he actually was in episode, 1, or 4, 5, and 6, and he should be getting older by then, not younger. So, that's another problem. I mean, you watch episode 2 and 3, he looks young, he looks like a young Yoda. This Yoda here is a fucking old piece of shit that's, like, ready to die. Like, in Return of the Jedi, when Yoda passes away, he still even looks younger then. So, like, they just stacked a bunch of green shit together from probably some party that some drunk guy was at, and they just threw it all together and made Yoda look like shit. That pisses me off, damn it, because Yoda's my favorite character. Why did they disgrace him in such a way? Fuck Lucas. Anyways, that was my rant on that. So, they say that he has more Metachlorians than Yoda, Master Yoda, and Master Yoda is the leader of the Jedi, so he's, you know, Obi-Wan can't believe it. He's like, there must be some kind of mistake, but there isn't. He really is the one to bring balance to the Force, but they don't believe that right away because, as you know, eventually he turns into Darth Vader. So, anyways, pretty much, they're kind of cautious when they bring him forth to the Jedi Council, and after he wins the fucking pod race. And that's another thing. That fucking pod race isn't even worth mentioning because it's so fucking retarded. Like, a kiddie pod race in a fucking adult science fiction movie. Like, the fucking pod race was so goddamn boring. And, like, the game that came out, Star Wars Pod Racer, like, was fucking horrible. It was a piece of shit. I mean, you'd rather fucking play Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde for Nintendo, aka the Nintendo video game nerd's review on it. I mean, you'd rather fucking play that game than this piece of shit pod racer game. I mean, you'd probably rather, I don't know, play fucking Pong or, Blaster Master or something than fucking Star Wars Pod Racer. It's boring. Like, I would probably rather watch infomercials all day and all night than fucking play Star Wars Pod Racer or watch this piece of shit clip from the pod racing match. And it's kind of retarded how they have the announcer sound like Howard Cosell. Like, how often is that fucking used in sports? I mean, come on, man. He's a dead guy that's been dead for, like, 25 years, you know? Well, I don't know. He might have been dead for about maybe 10 years. Never mind. I'll have to look that up eventually. I'll get back to you on that in the next show, Howard Cosell's death. How about that one? But anyways, the guy's been dead for a while, and they're still, you know, using his voice. Like, I bet you Howard Cosell would be rolling in his fucking grave right now saying, why am I referenced in this retarded piece of shit? So, anyways, they kind of have the announcer in that, and it's so cliche to use Howard Cosell's voice. And it's a two-headed freak to begin with, so it's just like one body and like two-headed freak. So, this pod race is so boring, and, like, Anakin, you know who's gonna win, it's fucking Anakin, and they just jump for joy, like, happy day, oh, happy day, you know, like, we're gonna give, you know, the chance of a lifetime to some little slave boy who's gonna turn out to be the fucking disaster of everything. So they make Anakin look like a fucking hero when he's not. He's a fucking zero is what he is. Bastard killed Obi-Wan. So, and the fourth one. So, anyways, I just thought that was that scene was completely, like, just retarded and uncalled for. It just really was pointless. And then, like, going back to the Gungans, there's a fucking annoying character that I have yet to mention, and I am gonna go on a rant about this asshole. His name's Jar Jar Binks. He, like, uses the most annoying language. Like, excuse me. The word excuse me. Okay? That sounds like taking a diarrhea shit and having somebody, like, squeeze it out of you, you know? Like, excuse me. Excuse me, but I farted. But, he always talks like Yuza. That's why I always say Yuza bomb the people, because the Yuza and Miza. Miza gonna give Yuza a big boo-boo. Yuza and big doo-doo. Jar Jar. Like, when he came back to his home planet, like, after the Trade Federation was trying to crush the planet of Naboo, the Gungans didn't even, like, bother to help out the fucking Jedis when they first happened to arrive. But eventually they help Queen Amidala. But let me mention Jar Jar Binks and get this out of the way. This guy is a fucking faggot. I mean, he is gayer than Richard fucking Simmons, Liberace, and Ryan Seacrest combined. Like, he is gay. I mean, his character is so annoying. Like, you want to walk up to the movie screen, just put a big fucking hole in it. Like, when I watched this, I had to be detained in my seat, like, locked down, so I did not put a hole in the screen. Like, I was that pissed when I watched this movie all those years ago and wasted my fucking honest earned money from Giant Eagle. So, anyways, he keeps on saying, "Yuza Miza, he's a Weeza." It's fucking annoying language that you just don't understand. And here's my point about the Gungans. What purpose do they serve in fucking Star Wars? This is Star Wars. We're talking about Jedi Knights and Dark Sith. We're not fucking talking about little 2-year-old kid characters that are gonna get their asses whipped anyways by the third movie. Like, completely wiped out. So what's the point of having them introduced into the movie? Like, I understand the Wookiees and everything because that's Chewbacca, you know? I mean, but where the fuck do the Gungans fit into all this? And where does... And Jar Jar fucking serves no purpose either. Well, you can say that he handed Palpatine the reign and to, you know, get the Galactic Empire together. But you know what? This guy was such a dumbass from the start. You didn't even have to have him in this film. So, it's just... It was just fucking retarded. It was like trying to replace Chewbacca, the funniness of Chewbacca on, like, Han Solo. But it just didn't happen. So, anyways, yeah, Jar Jar Binks is just fucking... He's not even fucking comparable to anything, let alone Chewbacca. I mean, like... To compare him to Chewbacca is an absolute fucking, like, disgrace to Chewbacca. Like, I wish him and Chewbacca would, like, get in a steel cage together and fucking Chewbacca would chew his goddamn head off. That's how much I hate Jar Jar Binks. Fucking, I gotta leave it alone, though, because this isn't a part of the show and, you know, I could go on a 2-hour rant about how fucking retarded Jar Jar Binks is. Gotta leave it alone, Z. Gotta leave it alone. But anyways, with that said, you know, as the Royal Naboo finally get a hold of the Gungans, and you learn that Princess Padme actually had a decoy of Queen Amidala, and the Boss Nass, he's a hell of a character. I actually kind of like Boss Nass. He's cool. He's a cool guy. But again, he doesn't really serve a purpose in Star Wars. And he goes, "These are gonna think about this one." And then he goes, "That is the shit." Like, how do you do that with your, like, face? Like, go and get all that spitting out. That'd be sweet. You just, like, constantly do that while, like, in class, you're thinking about something. I'd be like, "Hold on, let me think of the answer." And then as soon as I have it, the answer is... And you put all this spit all over the teacher. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be a great idea, and to do that to your college professor sometime that you have in class. So, anyways, yeah, going on, he comes to a decision, and they fight the Trade Federation, and they're getting their asses handed to them. So, if the Gungans were getting their asses handed to them by the Trade Federation, what the hell do you think would happen if they met the Galactic Empire? Like, the Galactic Empire could probably... only send maybe, like, 100, you know, stormtroopers, and they would probably still kick the shit out of an entire army of the Gungans. Like, they're fucking retards, you know? And Jar Jar Binks was named the fucking general. That's how sad this, you know, the Gungan army was. Jar Jar Binks, the general. How in the hell could you... That's like... Alright, let me compare it this way. That's like pulling a local bum off the street and saying, hey, do you want to coach the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, that's basically what it is. Like, asking the duct tape shoe man to, you know, coach the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you're unaware of the duct tape shoe man, maybe I'll explain that sometime once I get enough comments about it. So, anyways, pretty much the silliness of Jar Jar Binks being a general in an army is just blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. So, anyways, they are about ready to be defeated, and they had a plan to just kind of distract the Trade Federation long enough for Queen Amidala to force a signing. Well, Anakin saves the day in his ship by accident, and he starts flying a Royal Naboo ship. Like, come on, a little fucking kid can do this type of thing with no experience of driving a, you know, ship at all? Come on, he's sick. The kid's like, what, 6 years old, and you're gonna tell me a little fucking 6 year old can drive a Royal Naboo cruiser that's like all complicated and like all computerized and shit? Fuck that. That's bullshit. So, anyways, he ends up blowing up the whole, like, ship of the Royal Trade Federation, or the Trade, Royal Trade Federation, the Trade Federation, and it ends up blowing it up completely. And, right before, the Gungans were ready to surrender to the Trade Federation, they all shut down because the ship's blown up and communications completely lost. So, they win the day, and this is my problem with the fucking ending. It's a happy ending. That's the music. It's the most annoying, atrocious sound you've ever heard of in your fucking life. You'd rather listen to Gilbert Godfrey, like, sing, get up and sing, you know? Or, like, you know, Billy Crystal bust out a tune, or Don Johnson bust out the heartbeat. I can feel your heartbeat. Rather than, it's stupid. Like, and then the trumpets in the background. You know, it sounds like Green Acres or something. Like, how fucking stupid was that? So, you know, I mean, in review of this overall film, you know, Attack of the Clones and, you know, Revenge of the Sith actually improved a lot, tremendously. My favorite one of the three, obviously, is Revenge of the Sith, because it's just such a dark ending, and you gotta love that. Revenge of the Sith is really incredible, and, if you haven't, like, checked that out for whatever reason, please do. It is pretty solid as far as movie goes. If you haven't watched episode 1 yet, please don't. Because I've already described it to you in a nutshell, and it's a fucking waste of 2 hours and 2.5 hours of your life. Like, you could be, you know, helping out the homeless, you could be, you know, donating your time to, like, donate some blood. Do something else besides watching this fucking horrible piece of goddamn shit. It's not the worst movie of all time, but, you know, it certainly is the worst fucking Star Wars movie in the history of mankind. And, you know, is there going to be another Star Wars movie besides this cartoon to, you know, bridge the gap between 2 and 3? We'll find out. I mean, would I go see, you know, if Lucas ended up, you know, changing his mind and doing 7, 8, and 9? Of course. I mean, I love Star Wars. I'm one of the biggest fans of all time of Star Wars. So, you know, I mean, maybe they should bring back Han Solo, you know, since Han Solo is going to be playing in, you know, Indiana Jones, and Harrison Ford. I mean, you gotta love the man. I mean, he's a fucking shit in that movie, and it'd be cool if they brought back, you know, maybe Carrie Fisher. You know, her acting career's gotta be, you know, dead, you know, basically. I mean, I heard she never really panned out, and, you know, I saw her on the Today Show, and she's still fucking gorgeous as she was back then, so why not have her, you know? And why not bring, you know, Mark Hamill back, a.k.a. Luke Skywalker? I mean, that'd be great. Like, why not? I don't know. I mean, you can debate this all day, and I'm sure, you know, people are already debating whether there's going to be a 7, 8, 9, and how good this new Star Wars cartoon movie is going to be. I've actually watched The Clone Wars on Cartoon Network, and it's not too bad. You know, it tells the storyline, but a lot of it doesn't have to be told. Like, the old Jedis, like, who the fuck cares about them? I mean, they hardly have any lines in the movies themselves, so, like, who cares about the Knights of the Old Republic? Like, when they died, I wasn't sad. I was just like, okay, and your point, they're dead. Alright, I knew that was gonna happen. I do feel kind of bad, though, for those kids that got slaughtered in the third one, but that's besides the point. Well, my next review will be on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So that should be coming up, like, probably around sometime next week to prepare for the new Indiana Jones movie, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So that will be interesting in itself. Well, this is Z-Man signing off for the Fucked Up Z Critic Gallery. Thank you very much for listening, and you have a nice day.